This ceremony was officiated by Jeffrey Shugen Arnold Roshi at Zen Mountain Monastery. Shugen Roshi is the abbot of the monastery and the Zen Center of New York City. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you'd like to make a donation or find out more about our retreats and residency programs, visit our website at cmm.org. Thanks for listening.
Master Dogen taught, when you listen, study, practice, and realize unsurpassable, complete enlightenment, it is deep, vast, and inconceivable. You learn this unsurpassable enlightenment either by following a teacher or by following a sutra. First, you understand it as refrain from unwholesome action. If you don't understand it as refrain from unwholesome action, it's not the true Buddha Dharma, but the speech of demons. Know that to understand unsurpassable enlightenment as refrain from unwholesome action is the true Buddha Dharma. What Dogen is saying here is, as he says later, is more than it appears, but it is also just what he says. To understand, to practice, study, and realize, refrain from unwholesome action is the true Buddha Dharma. We can think of morality, our actions, our behaviors, our words, as we can understand they have influence and still believe in some way that they're distinct or in some other category from enlightenment, from wisdom. And what the Buddha said, what Dogen is reaffirming, is that they're not separate. To realize unsurpassable enlightenment is to realize refraining from unwholesome action. Refraining from unwholesome action is not necessarily enlightenment. He says first, and so we, during Anga we meet, we gather, such as we are tonight, to do visatsu, renewal of vows, which is really continuing a tradition that started in the lifetime of the Buddha within his own community, his own Sangha, where the Sangha would regularly gather and review all of their monastic precepts, their training precepts, and maintain the integrity of their practice and of their place within the Sangha, so that the Sangha itself was maintaining its integrity, its wholeness, its resolve, its path. Dogen says, first, we have to understand refrain from unwholesome action as refrain from unwholesome action. To understand this as the Dharma, Buddha Dharma, and to understand it in just this way. And so an old master said, first, mountains are mountains and rivers are rivers. The precepts are what they say. To affirm life and to not kill means to not take life. To be giving and not steal means not to take what doesn't belong to you. To not misuse sexuality means don't use sexuality in a way that is hurtful. To not lie means to not tell a falsehood. It means to understand it in just this way, to practice it in just this way. And so to not kill is to bring forth and support life, to not destroy or diminish it. To not steal is to not destroy trust that we have with one another. And it's not to generate greed. To not misuse sexuality is to not destroy the sacred bond that people have between themselves. To not lie is to not generate falsehood in the world. And so first, we have to find our strength here. We have to practice in this straight-ahead way. To discover our faith in these teachings, in these practices. And to work from within. to follow the sutra. These teachings, the teaching of the Buddha. and to work towards integrating them so that our actions are coming from within, our words are coming from within, our intentions are coming from within, and they're coming from within a place of understanding, of mindfulness, of clear resolve. To take responsibility for ourselves as moral beings that have influence and impact in the world. And that the consequences of our actions have everything to do not just with the impact we have within the world, but with our practice, our path, our meditation, our liturgy. To study cause and effect through the actions that we take, to see how an action, a movement, sets something into motion. And that motion impacts on other things, people, circumstances, and to study the consequences of those actions and to trace back those actions to the first desire, the impulse. To examine and experiment with intention. I mean, that's what's happening really every day. The formal liturgy is presenting us, is guiding us in how to study intention, the power, this great force of human consciousness, one of the greatest forces of the human realm. And to become courageous with our mistakes, our errors, our slights, to become courageous within our experience of remorse and regret, to come to understand the practice of atonement and how important that is, how liberating that is, and how broad atonement is, and deep. Dogen says, refrain from unwholesome action. This is not what ordinary people first interpret it to mean. Although it may sound like it, when we hear enlightenment, expound it as a teaching of enlightenment. So when we first hear the teachings, when we first come upon these precepts, as the story in that Dogen tells in the fascicle, a child could read or be told these precepts and understand them. And so initially we hear them, we understand them in a certain way, we begin practicing them. And we relate them to what we already know. And it seems clear enough. And yet, what Dogen is saying, that what it really means is not what we see in the beginning. It's not that that's false, but it's not entirely true. And something as simple as take your pick of any of these precepts. Something as seemingly simple as Zazen, we give instruction. It's simple enough to hear the instruction. And then we sit down to begin practicing and we realize pretty quickly the landscape is not as simple as we thought. What does it mean to refrain? What does that mean? What is wholesome? What is unwholesome? What do those words mean? What is action? To refrain from unwholesome action. And we realize that these words are necessary. They convey meaning and the meaning is essential, but that alone is not enough. It's not what we think we interpret it to mean at the beginning. Although it sounds like it. And so we keep practicing. And as we go deeper, we realize, as the old master said, mountains are not mountains and rivers are not rivers. Things are not as they appear. All things, yourself, others, time, karma, suffering, enlightenment, is not what we first believe these things to be. These words convey meaning, the meaning is true, But the meaning doesn't convey to us what they are. And we can take something as profound as enlightenment or as simple as following the breath and see this to be true. And so Dogen says, first, understand the Dharma as refrain from unwholesome action. Understand refrain from unwholesome action as refrain from unwholesome action. And as we do this, as we engage this at a deeper level, we realize that it is not as we first assumed. And so in Bodhidharma's one mind precept, he says, Buddha nature is inconceivably wondrous. Not giving rise to the notion of extinction is called the precept of not killing. Not giving rise to the notion of taking is the precept of not stealing. Buddha nature is inconceivably wondrous. Dogen says, when we encounter the Dharma, it is deep, vast, and inconceivable. They're saying the same thing. Bodhidharma is saying that the very notion of life, of death, of an object, of stealing, of desire, as possessing an existence that could be extinguished, that could be stolen, that could be defiled, is itself turning away. Mountains are not mountains. Dogen says, this very person at this very moment abides in the place and comes from and goes to the place where no unwholesome action is created. In appearing, no one is born. In one action, something occurs, but what Dogen is saying is nothing is created. Things are not as they seem, and nor are they otherwise. What begins in the beginning, so straightforward, so simple, just refrain. Just refrain from killing, just refrain from stealing, just refrain from speaking falsely. As we enter into it, we enter into a universe, a world, worlds. It is inconceivable, wondrous, deep, and vast. It is also simple, ordinary, straightforward. When we don't understand what Dogen is speaking of, that this very person at this moment abides in the place and comes from and goes to the place where nothing is created. When we don't see this, then all we have is things as they appear. All we can really do is base things on how they seem to us. And so suffering is, attachment is, a false view is. And so when we try to navigate our lives and navigate our lives with each other, things very quickly become very complicated for reasons that it's very difficult to understand. It's kind of like seeing the self as a warehouse filled with stuff, goods. And since it's your warehouse, you got to, you know, keep it in order. So we organize things, we put things in a category. We put stuff outside the door that we want to be carted away. We build a vault around what those things we want to be protected. We don't want anybody to steal them. And then when we try to get involved in other people's lives or be of service, we have to go into their warehouse and deal with their goods. It's hard to keep track of things. Dogen says, no unwholesome action is created. Although the person appears to be faced with the conditions of creating unwholesome action or of associating with those who create unwholesome action, And what he's speaking to here is the profound teaching of Prajnaparamita. We speak of non-duality. But a dharma is a teaching, the practice, the study, the realization of non-duality. That's a word. No unwholesome action is created. No wholesome action is created. No neutral action is created. Although, in every moment, the person, you, me, is in a situation, a circumstance, where the conditions may either be fertile for unwholesome actions, for wholesome actions, for creating good, for causing harm. They may be fertile for being influenced by or influencing those who do harm or are living lives of benefit. All of this is true in one moment. There are actual circumstances that create conditions for creating, encouraging the creation of pain, of suffering, of impatience, of intolerance, of hatred, fear, jealousy. When we create harm, when we don't create harm, in every situation, that's true. There are conditions in which we are acting. The actions are our own. They're our responsibility. But they're not happening in a void. That's why to go deeply in, to study, to practice, to penetrate, to liberate the self is essential, but we also have to practice liberating the world, the conditions in which we live. Because otherwise we and everyone else continually are in circumstances that may be creating the conditions, making it easier than it needs to be to create suffering. Mountains are not mountains, rivers are not rivers. When we're bound, when our minds are bound, there aren't a lot of choices. The more narrow and tight and sort of rigid and bound our karma is, which means really our mind, our inner space, our mindfulness, our response, which becomes reactivity, which is just another way of saying no choices. You know, when we react impulsively, we're not making a choice. We're reacting, right? We're acting out of some condition that has already been set within us and that is being, it's like a key in a lock. That something is going on outside that like puts this key in this particular lock, these conditions that are present within us that are that state of mind, that state of being. That narrowness, and as that lock is turned, there's little choice about what happens. And so when we go to the cushion, we stop. We enter into time, right? Because in that narrow space, time, we don't see time happening. There is no time. There's just reaction. There's no space in which to move in a different direction or to not move or to consider or to reflect. And so we stop. We enter into time. We begin to allow time to return to its natural state, which is calm and stable and the right time, the right amount of time, the time in which there is sufficient space to see and respond, to not react. Dogen says, moved by what is spoken and heard, when we hear of the teachings, hear of the Dharma, hear of liberation, we vow to refrain from unwholesome action and practice refraining from unwholesome action. And so as we continue, moved by what we hear, moved by what we see, and those simple words just speak volumes about the mystery of what it is to be a human being, to encounter something and to be moved. What is that? To encounter words that go right into the heart of your being. To hear something for the first time and have the sense that you have known this. You have known this. To be moved, and to be so moved that we vow or we commit or we begin examining, we set out on the path to refrain from unwholesome action, which is the true Buddha Dharma. That's why Dogen speaks of ceasing from harm as the dwelling place of all Buddhas. And so in the Mahayana tradition of the precepts, there is out of reverence and compassion for life, we refrain from harm. We do not steal. We do not misuse sexuality. We don't speak of others' errors and faults. We enter into the great vow, which means when necessary, we do what is needed to affirm life, to be generous, to see the perfection, to realize self and other as one, to give generously, to take life, to take what doesn't belong to us, to speak of another's errors, to be angry, to withhold. Out of compassion and reverence for life, sometimes we do those, commit those actions, because to not do so would create harm or greater harm. To not do so would be to adhere to a fixed notion of compassion. And Dogen says, unwholesome action has no fixed form. And this is one of the really important aspects of the teachings of life, of reality, but of in particular the precepts. Because moral teachings very easily become rigid rules. To be bound by, to bind ourselves to bind ourselves with. And what the non-fixedness nature of these precepts is telling us is that reality is not static. It's constantly moving. It's not relativistic. It's not just do whatever seems right at the moment. That's why Dogen says we need to study with a teacher or study the sutras. We need to be actually practicing in close proximity, in close work with the actual teachings. And so when necessary, to act in such a way that seems to go against the precept, we do so only out of compassion and reverence for life. In other words, it's not self-serving. It's not confusion. It's not used as an excuse to just act selfishly and call it abiding by the precepts. And so that Mahayana perspective takes a very meticulous effort to hold ourselves accountable. I talked about accountability recently, which comes back to being moved by hearing the teachings and being wanting to be accountable, wanting to make a vow. And so as the old master said, we then see, now, mountains are mountains, rivers are rivers. To not kill, to not cloud the mind, to not be angry, are just not killing. Not clouding the mind, not being angry, But they are not as they appeared in the beginning. You know, in every moment where there's a practice, or in any moment where we're engaged in a particular teaching, we're chanting a sutra, we're studying the precepts, we're reflecting on our own actions. As practitioners, in every moment when we're engaging the Dharma, there is at that moment, that action, that perspective, that focus. But that is happening within the world, the universe of Buddha Dharma, within the universe of the path, to appreciate what that means. It's like climbing a mountain, that in each step as you climb the mountain, you're in contact with the mountain. You feel the earth under your feet. But the mountain is more than the soil under your feet. It's the whole body of the mountain. It's trees and flowers, briars, entangling vines, it's streams, it's the sky and clouds overhead. And each step as you ascend the mountain is taken within that whole universe of the mountain. Each step that we take, each practice of each moment is taking place within the whole mountain, the whole universe of what we call the Buddha Dharma. Not necessarily seeing that or recognizing that doesn't mean that it's not so. And in that moment, we are being influenced, guided, inspired by the whole of that path, and we are realizing that path. We are manifesting that path. So as we practice the precepts and are guided and held accountable and motivated, we are bringing them to life. We are verifying the truth of their teachings, which goes all the way back to the Buddha. And so Dogen says, when you refrain from unwholesome action, the power of practice is immediately actualized. And this is actualized on the scale of the whole earth, the whole universe, all of time, and all dharmas. This is the scale of refrain from. That's how large it is. And so, if you sort of follow that path from the mind that is very clenched and tight and distracted or seized by a desire or a thought or a fear, an emotion, and as that calms and settles on the path of mindfulness, on the path of samadhi, on the path of realization, on the path of compassion, on the whole path, and you see that happening within you. You see the body becoming, in your senses, in your experience, your actual experience, the body becoming larger. You experience time as becoming relaxed and spacious. We experience a moment as being a world within which we can see what we couldn't see before. We can move in ways we couldn't move before. I was just reading a story about when Rachungpa, who was a disciple of Milarepa, that they were traveling together and they were in a wicked rainstorm and they got separated. Rachungpa couldn't see him. He could hear Milarepa singing because Milarepa was always singing the teachings. And so he kept just wandering towards the sound. And finally, he found him. And Milarepa was sitting, doing Zazen, in the discarded horn of a bull that had been hollowed out. And that what was so amazing was that the horn was exactly the size of a horn, and Milarepa was exactly his size. And that he was sitting perfectly in the entry of this horn. That's an advanced practice. Dogen says, when you move mountains, rivers, and earth, as well as the sun, the moon, and stars to practice, they in return move you to practice. We should really reflect on that. Dogen is speaking as a poet, but he's not speaking for the sake of poetry. He's using poetry to convey his experience of things. That when we move the mountains, the rivers, and earth, when we move the universe to practice, that universe moves us to practice. We should examine that for ourselves.
Thanks so much for listening. To find out more about the monastery's programs, weekend retreats, and residency, please visit our website at cmm.org.